The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
People like me, Paddy, from the outside looking in, like I'd have learned way more off watching the likes of Bernard Brogan than I'd have learned off Jeremy Connolly and David Clifford, because them boys are freak shows.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.
Been doing our European cheat sheets here for the last couple of weeks. I was presenting all week, so if I didn't bother doing it, I need the helping hand of the presenter in studio before we dive back into these. So we are cramming. We are doing last minute cramming and getting our final group. It is Group F today. We're going to get to France and Portugal later, as I say. Hungary coming up in just a moment, but Germany is the team we are going to start with in Group F. So let's get a 90-second timer going to give you a breakdown. So they go into this tournament, Germany, at their lowest ebb for quite some time. After losing the semi-finals at Euro 2016, they finished bottom of a relatively forgiving group at the 2018 World Cup, and then finished bottom of the group in their first Nations League campaign. Their second campaign in that competition saw that infamous 6-0 defeat to Spain last year, and then they lost 2-1 to North Macedonia in World Cup qualifying earlier this year. Joachim Löw will probably not be the manager right now, except for the fact that civil war in the German FA distracted them from actually sacking him, but he will fall on his sword when this tournament is done. And with one last hurrah, his squad for Euro 2020 is an interesting one. Mats Hummels and Thomas Müller were two of the players axed after a disastrous 2018. So in order to right the wrongs of 2018, he has called up two players who he dropped for being responsible for the wrongs of 2018. Both Hummels and Müller are in Germany's starting team, so maybe Löw deserves credit for recognising his own failures. So, what can we actually expect then when it comes to this tournament? Well, on the one hand, you could base all your expectations on that 6-0 game against Spain. And on the other hand, you could base all the expectations on the fact that they won 7-1 just last week. Yeah, it was Latvia. But if you allow yourself to get carried away by an attack that will have some combination of Müller, Havertz, Gnabry, Werner, Sané, and a midfield that's going to include some combination of Kroos, Kimmich, Goretzka and Gundogan, you can very quickly start to get to this ridiculous notion that maybe Germany could do something this summer, that maybe Joachim Löw could scratch away at a pre-tournament prediction and get a sniff of one last piece of silverware. Finally, let's have a look at those kits. Here is the home kit. This is a theme this year, Adrian. The kids really do love full kit or full flag at the end of the sleeve. That is very much a theme of this year.
A beautiful jersey.
Fashionista. I wouldn't go as far as beautiful now.
But that's lovely.
It's grand, like my expert eye. And then this is the away kit, which I've seen referred to as a stealth kit, which of course makes perfect sense.
It's a bit Darth Vader, isn't it?
It is very Darth Vader. Once again, those Germany flags making an appearance at the bottom of the sleeve. You can't really do it. Then you just start to think that Ireland jersey with the tricolour at the bottom of the sleeves, what would that look like?
Yogi Love stuff is interesting, isn't it? Your gag there about the lads being a bit distracted, because it was definitely the thought that I had. Why didn't they just get rid of him? Now, like, maybe they do a sort of French rugby on it and the players take charge, and maybe bringing the two our lads back in actually facilitates the players taking over. Because the main thing, obviously, with any team in any variety is the manager getting the best out of them, and it's probably safe enough to say that that's not what's happening with Yogi Löw at the minute. So bit of revolt on, I think, is what's required here.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to the future of German football, when Hansi Flick comes in, I think there is this sense that Germany are going to be well placed to challenge again. So I think we need to kind of appreciate this sort of moment of chaos in German football. They have been the constant. If you talk about our childhood memories, no matter what era you grow up in, the Germans have always been a constant of being a contender. And this feels like one of the first times where we're like, they're just a bit of a rabble, and too much of a rabble to be able to contend at this year's competition. But, and this has been the case when we dig deep into the squad for all of these teams, you just suddenly start to get a little bit carried away with what a team could do as opposed to what a team will do. Like, I mean, if you go through just some of the players here, like I mentioned Goretzka there, he's going to miss the France game, and maybe there will be this big overreaction if things don't go well against France, but he will come back into the squad. There is no sense that Germany will lose to Hungary. If they beat Hungary and maybe get a draw in one of the other two games, they're going to be out of the group. They're going to end up coming third in this group of death, and then all of a sudden it is the land of opportunity for Germany, and they have the players to be able to cause a shock clearly in this competition. Like, at the back, and this is one of the first things I always look at these teams, is like, will you concede a lot of goals? and maybe there's question marks about Hummels, but he's playing alongside Rudiger and playing in front of Manuel Neuer, and that is their three at the back. And I don't know, if you're looking at that triangle as the first port of call for can a team contend at a tournament, I'm looking at those three and I'm like Germany aren't going to be the easiest to score against. Now, I know that their fullbacks are a massive problem area for them, like to the point where Kimmich has actually been played on the right side of the midfield to actually give added protection there at times. So that is where you'll be able to hurt Germany, is down those flanks. And as we know, a lot of teams are going to be playing 3-4-3 or 4-3-3 at this tournament, and maybe with a bit more width, Germany do end up getting destroyed a la the 6-0 last year. But I'm still looking at them, and I'm still looking at some of the kids like Musiala from Bayern Munich, obviously, only 18 years of age. He's the sort of guy that is representative of this conveyor belt that hasn't stopped rolling. It's just a bad period, and Love is very lucky to be manager going into this, but they will be back soon. So let's just enjoy this moment of Germany being mediocre.
Yeah, they do have an incredible like bunch of players. Havertz, obviously, as well, and you just maybe some of it depends on do the old lads play and how do they go. But what are you saying about Germany? Is this a sort of noble exit at the group stages?
No, I think they will finish third in the group stages, and they will be one of the qualifiers. I think Hungary will lose all of their games. Spoiler. Belgium then, I think, will be their opponent in the last 16, and I've already tipped Belgium to win the tournament, so I better be consistent here and say Belgium are going to beat Germany. But I've just got a sneaky feeling about the Germans, those pesky Germans, and that game against France in particular early on in this tournament. I just think something weird might happen, and we'd all be like, hold on a minute, why didn't we see this coming? Why didn't we realise that Spain beating them 6-0 in front of an empty stadium last year would actually have not much of an impact in this year's tournament? I've just got a weird feeling, but I can't quantify it with anything substantial that they're better than France and Portugal, so I have to say they're finishing third, and I have to say Belgium are going to beat them in the last 16.
It's a bonkers group with three of the teams from the semi-finals of 2016, but like, you do feel about Germany like in the same way that we rock into the party and we're in there kind of looking over our shoulders going that somebody's going to come over and tap us on the shoulder in a minute and kick us out. Germany walk into the party and they're like, we all this part, like that tends to be their outlook with major tournaments. When they get there, they're like, this is where we belong, and maybe at times sort of operate a little bit above themselves.
Yeah, and I was listening to Rafa Honigstein talk about this, and he was saying that a semi-final exit would be acceptable this year, whereas winning the tournament is always their goal. I mean, that's just lofty expectations, because I think you look at that and Belgium are a better team than them. France and Portugal are a better team than them. The expectation is for them to finish third and play Belgium and lose. And the German view is that a semi-final at least is the expectation in this year's tournament, where there are just a number of squads that are more stacked than them and a number of teams that are in better form than them as well over the last little while. So, yeah, it comes back to this nebulous notion of Germany doing German things at a major tournament, which I can't really quantify and use that as a proper prediction this morning.
Make people sound knowledgeable about Hungary, Owen.
Okay, well, Hungary. This is bad timing. Let's give our 90-second timer anyway. So, as I just said there, the people of the Republic of Ireland can obviously say that Hungary are no great shakes, finishing behind Croatia, Wales and Slovakia in their qualifying group, but beating Bulgaria and Iceland in their Nations League pathway is what qualified them for back-to-back Euros for the first time in their history. So before 2016, the last time Hungary played at the Euros was in 1972, and the nation's footballing glories are obviously in black and white with Puskás and those World Cup final appearances in 1938 and 1954. In Euro 2016, Hungary finished top of a group that involved the story of that summer, Iceland, and the winners of that summer, Portugal. Their reward, though, was to play Belgium in the last 16, and they got smashed 4-0. They will almost certainly not top their group this time, being the team most people expect to actually experience death in the group of death, but they will get to play their first two games at home. However, they would happily give that up in exchange for Dominik Szoboszlai being fit. He is their talisman, their main creative force. He is the guy who booked their ticket to the tournament, scoring in the 92nd minute against Iceland. But he is injured and he will miss the tournament. So Hungary will then rely on a couple of other Leipzig men to keep them in games. Their goalkeeper, Peter Gulácsi, is probably the most recognisable name in the team. And then their centre-back, Willy Orban, has played over 200 games for Leipzig as well. You will be searching, though, for a long time to find someone with a lot of creative and attacking spark in this team. But if I had to pick one, Adam Zalai, who we obviously saw the other night, has 23 international goals to his name. And we just expect his head to be on the end of every single cross as Hungary try and score from set pieces. The best thing about Hungary, I can say about this going into the tournament, is their home kit, which I think is a cracker. And let's have a look at the away kit as well, which is a bit more traditional.
Yeah.
More of a classic feel to that. But as I say, this is really bad timing to be talking about Hungary because we all watched them the other night. And maybe we just saw a version of Hungary the other night that was on the front foot and had more possession, and that is something they will not experience in their three group games. So their game plan against Ireland is not necessarily going to be their game plan against France, Portugal and Germany.
There should always be, I think, a distinction made between a group of death and a group with good teams in it. I mean, it ain't a group of death.
Correct. I absolutely agree with this. The group of, like, as I've said already, the group of death is a World Cup. If that was in the World Cup, that would be a group of death because one of those big three would be getting knocked
if
out.
If one team was going through, then it's absolutely a group of death. If there's two teams going through, it's a group of been a bit wounded. But if there's probably three teams going through, it's just a handy group.
Absolutely agree with that. And, like, I mean, you go back through the last little while in Hungarian football and they have been really good over the last couple of years, and they come into this year though and you look at a couple of their results, and obviously the result against Ireland the other night was scored a draw, put one goal past Cyprus a few days prior to that. Their World Cup qualification, they started it off with a 3-3 draw with Hungary and have beaten Andorra and San Marino. So they're in a good position there, and it does seem that they are travelling in the right direction. Once you take Szoboszlai out of that team, all of a sudden their key players look quite old. They're experienced, but like Hungary have played in, what, one other Euros in this generation, one other major tournament in this generation. So are they actually experienced or are they actually just old? Like, club experience is different to big tournament experience, especially when they're in this sort of group. And I've actually found it easier to look at North Macedonia and Finland and make a case for them than I've found it to make a case for Hungary. Now, of course, I mean, there are, like, I know that Pukki has gone through his injury troubles, but and maybe it's not as serious as Szoboszlai's. Maybe that's why it's easier to make a case for them, because they have their totemic figure possibly available for this entire tournament. So maybe that's just what it comes down to, and the strength of the group that they're up against. But I just find it very hard to make a case that they're going to do anything at this tournament, which is obviously going to come back and bite me in the ass, I think.
Yeah, well, look at even their jerseys, Mackie Owen. There's no reason to get...
You don't like it? You're not having the home jersey? It's
not nowhere near that Germany jersey. That Germany jersey is absolutely beautiful. And, look, there are two more teams, obviously, to get to in this group. We'll come to them. We'll come up with a sexier name than the group of very good teams that are almost all going through.
The group of opportunity, I think it is, because the top team... Like, in fairness, the third team will get Belgium. The second team will also, I don't have the draw in front of me, will also get a tough draw. It will be... I seem to have lost that there now. England, Portugal, sorry. So the second team will be going up against England if they top their group.
Okay.
And then, the top team gets the easiest draw. It's getting emotional. We're going into our final two cheat sheets. Two crackers, though, for you. First up, let's get a 90-second timer for France. So they're looking for a World Cup Euros double once again in order to repeat defeat of 98 and 2000. Teams that were captained, of course, by the manager still at the helm, Didier Deschamps. Their World Cup winning team from Russia is largely still there. Samuel Umtiti and Blaise Matuidi, the only players who started the final against Croatia who aren't in this summer's squad. And it is the best squad at the tournament. There isn't even room for the likes of Anthony Martial, Eduardo Camavinga and Hassan Awar. But the big news, of course, is the return of that man, Karim Benzema. The success of Didier Deschamps has been underpinned by his ability to not be Raymond Domenech and to prioritise team chemistry above pretty much everything else. So you might say bringing a man back who allegedly blackmailed a former teammate over a sex tape wouldn't be in line with prioritising team chemistry. But the man allegedly scored 30 goals in the season just gone, so screw team chemistry. Now, there had been a school of thought that Benzema wasn't a perfect fit for this French system compared to, say, Olivier Giroud. And last year, when asked about Giroud, Benzema said, "You don't confuse Formula One with karting. I know that I am Formula One." Kylian Mbappe then is more like a Formula One car that is driven through a magic mushroom on Mario Kart. And at the age of 22, he's already conquered a World Cup in truly sensational fashion. But let's not forget Antoine Griezmann, who was the Golden Boot winner at the last Euros and bagged another 4 goals at the World Cup in front of Pogba and Kante, Varane and Kimpembe. This is a team and a squad that is simply the envy of the entire continent. To make matters worse, they're going to look absolutely fantastic in this home kit. And the away kit might actually be their Achilles heel.
What do you mean their Achilles heel?
I'm not having that away
kit. Oh, will you stop? That is a beauty.
Explain to me why it's a beauty.
I prefer the Germany home jersey to the France home jersey. And I see now a commonality between the two of them. Maybe I'm just attracted to that. Like, I do love the Irish white away kit as well. Maybe there's just something about that. But no, that's, look at how, that screams French class.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Again, what's your issue?
To be honest with you, this is where I struggle now. I've waded into water here, and water is now at my chin, and I'm about to drown in a conversation that I'm not prepared to have a conversation.
Why?
I just don't know how to judge. I've had this conversation before. I don't know how to judge a good jersey from a bad jersey. I'm just trusting my gut here, and I went for it there a moment ago. I was just like, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm going to back my opinion on this. It's like talking about baseball. I'm like, I'm going to back my opinion here, even though I've got no clue what the hell I'm talking about.
That's
me talking about jerseys.
I would back your opinion whether you know what you're talking about almost everything all day long, but you were bang wrong about that. That jersey is a beauty. It's got like almost that sort of is it the Lambretti down the side of it? It's so subtly beautiful, because even when they're lash it up on the screen there again, when they're wearing it, you'll barely see the French flag down the armpit.
Yeah, you are a man of class and sophistication, I guess. So this is the jersey. You'll
now I know you're talking shit, and it's appreciated, but. Yeah, I'm giving the nod to Germany over that.
Yeah. No, it's this is like, I mean, we heard it from Lifton there a moment ago as well, that France are the team to beat here. They haven't lost a game in 2 years. Just to go through some of the form here, they've topped their last Nations League group, which involved Portugal. They've beaten Wales 3-0 and Bosnia Herzegovina 3-0 in warm ups. I just find that there is either a fault to be found in either team's recent form or in the squad, or injuries, or something along those lines. But France, it's very hard to find a chink in the armour at the moment. Like, if we go through some of the starting team, then as I mentioned there, so it's going to be Lloris in goals, Varane and Kimpembe in front of him, Hernandez and Pavard from Bayern Munich at full-back. If you wanted to maybe pick a weakness, maybe we get hung up a little bit on Pavard's goal against Argentina 3 years ago and say he's an absolutely world-class full-back when maybe he's not. But again, nitpicking there. Pogba and Kante in midfield behind Mbappe, Griezmann and probably Rabiot behind Benzema. And even if it's not that, Kingsley Coman can come into things. And you even look at the depth in their squad, and there could be room for even a couple of younger players to make a mark. Like Jules Koundé from Sevilla is somebody who's attracting the attention of a lot of top clubs, 22 years of age at this point. €81 million is an official market value that CIES have put on him. He's the second most expensive, or the second highest valued player in the squad after Kylian Mbappe. And then you've got Marcus Thuram in the squad as well, son of Lilian, playing with Mönchengladbach at the moment, has constantly got better over the last few years. He's a little bit older. He's 23 and can play as a left winger. So maybe those two are worth keeping an eye on, because you know who's going to be the stars for the French team. You don't need me to go through them. The Benzema versus Giroud thing is interesting. As I mentioned there, like a little bit of beef over the last little while. But now there's been an added layer of beef to this French squad. It's Mbappe versus Giroud. So if you missed this the other day, Giroud came off the bench obviously to score twice. But after the game, he took aim at Mbappe, who was appearing to deliberately not pass the ball to Giroud. Like, let's just say he was a little bit more charitable in his quest for assists when Karim Benzema was the striker, as opposed to when Olivier Giroud was the striker. And Giroud said, sometimes you make the run and the ball is not arriving. Perhaps we could have found each other better. There it is. And then Mbappe, according to AS, said, was furious and wanted to defend himself in a personal press conference, having heard Giroud's comments. But he was not granted that opportunity. So, I don't know, is that the chink in the armour that we've all been looking for in the French team?
No, it's probably not. Like, the chink in the armour might be something like some factor that we're not sure about yet, like Kante and the expectation that exists around him, and maybe he's banjaxed after a big season, like stuff that we just...
Yeah.
Like an odd year, an odd 18 months, who knows? But, it does... For a team stacked with such talent, it does feel as if maybe more than anybody else, a lot is riding on him.
Yeah, I think that is a factor. And the other thing that I've thought about is just pure hunger. That they're, like, so again, I tipped Belgium for this, and I think my prediction here is that they will lose in a semi-final to Belgium. And it's just because it is now or never for a team like Belgium. And we'll get to Portugal in just a moment, but Portugal have their Euro from 5 years ago. France have their World Cup from 3 years ago. That surely sates the appetite on some level. I know Deschamps will look at it in a completely different way, considering he will be the only person to ever do the double as a player and as a manager, and that will probably never be matched ever again. Do the players have that hunger? They probably do as well, but I just think the Belgian attitude to it is like we've been talked about as a golden generation for a long, long time. It's kind of now or never for a few of those players. So I just think that there's maybe just a tad more of an incentive from a few other teams, and they might get out hungered when it comes
thanks,
to it at the
thanks,
end.
Thanks, Big Sam. That's a good prediction.
But that is like the biggest clutch at a straw I've possibly ever made.
Before we leave France, there's been plenty of commentary about your take on their jersey, including this one comment says, "If I went to Mass, I'd wear that France away kit to Mass." Joe Key says, I mean, just going with the stereotype, the French wearing a white shirt, they usually just wave a white flag. The French away kit is beautiful. Shane has made some very poor kick calls for the last few weeks. Surprising, hipster normally can pick a good jersey.
Well, thank you. I've certainly identified my Achilles heel, even if I can't find one in the French team. And certainly, I just take a stab at it. Like, sometimes I get them right. Like, and I just kind of wander in and be like, approach these things with confidence and maybe nobody will notice that actually you've got no sense in fashion whatsoever.
That is France on tier in our eye.
For the last one, it is team 24 of team 24. Let's get a 90-second timer for Portugal. So, not many teams manage to win a tournament and then roll into the next tournament with a superior squad, but that is exactly what Portugal have done here. Since 2016, Portugal have added Ruben Dias, João Cancelo, Diogo Jota, Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, João Felix and André Silva. They've also added the Nations League title in 2019 to announce the arrival of this new generation. So the task for Fernando Santos is basically to get as many of those attacking stars in the team around Cristiano Ronaldo and hope for a reasonable sum of their parts. Ronaldo is now 36 and he finished the season with Juventus as the top scorer in Serie A, and he goes into this tournament just 6 goals away from breaking Ali Day's record as the man with the most goals in international football history. The team has moved on from a 4-4-2 they employed in 2016 and will likely line up in a 4-4-3-3 or something that resembles it. Ronaldo will more than likely lead that line, but Bernardo Silva and Diogo Jota either side of him, and Bruno Fernandes the most advanced midfielder. It might mean there won't actually be room for the third most expensive footballer in history, João Felix, in Portugal's strongest 11. There almost certainly won't be room in the starting team for André Silva, despite scoring 28 league goals for Eintracht Frankfurt this season just gone, making him the fourth highest scorer across Europe's top 5 leagues. That is more goals than Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe. Having depth is pretty handy though, especially when you're facing into a group. And maybe there's a surprise up Santos' sleeve given the strength of opposition in this group. And you could call it a group of death, but let's not forget Portugal finished third in their group behind Hungary and Iceland in 2016 and still qualified and obviously still won the entire tournament. So in the 24-team tournament, there isn't really any group of death is what we've been making that point earlier on. Let's have a look at the kits finally. Yeah. The home kit is exactly what you'd expect. Not sure what the fashionistas like Adrian Barry think.
Horrible.
Great, thank you. Horrible jersey. I knew it all along.
Oh my God, that is horrific. It's
the exact sort of thing I think that the football hipsters would hate. Are we united, people who've got a low IQ like me in football fashion and people who've got a high
disgusting.
IQ like Adrian in football fashion that this is bad?
I would have thought that the Carlo GEA jersey would have been sort of top of the pile in terms of stuff that you really shouldn't just be wearing, anybody should be wearing. But that is going to run at a close second, I'd say. That's horrific. I don't want to be sort of jumping the gun here, but like in terms of your prediction around how Portugal are going to get on, before you give that, or maybe within giving that, what if how would that change if Ronaldo get injured tomorrow and couldn't play?
It would change
his importance given some of the quality of the players that are there, his age profile, maybe his desperation to win this thing and how that might almost hinder him to a degree. If he wasn't in, you think it would significantly hamper Portugal's opportunity to go deep and win?
Definitely, because I think he wants to win it while on the pitch this time. He certainly found a spotlight and managed to put it on himself in 2016 when he came off injured and managed a team from the sideline. So he wants to do it for himself, and he also wants to catch Ali Day as well. Let's not forget, he's definitely the type of footballer who wants to do that and do it at a major tournament as well. Like the problem though is that the squad is just so talented that André Silva, as your backup most advanced forward, will be the best backup forward in the entire tournament. It is just outrageous the depth that they have. They can afford to get an injury in almost every position. Like, the one area of weakness, I'm tipping them to get to the final, by the way, and lose to Belgium, in case that's what you were asking there. But the one weakness that maybe you could look at is possibly midfield, because they don't have a settled two. But actually the reality there is that they've got so many good midfielders in that team that we're just not aware of what two he's going to go for. Like, it could be Ruben Neves and William Carvalho. They started together against Israel this week. It could be João Palhinha. It could be Danilo Pereira beside him in that midfield too. They're all kind of players who were in their mid to late 20s, all at their peak. No one who's an uncertain quantity when it comes to their club form, at least. And you look at the players in front of them and the players behind them, full of experience, like in Rafael Guerrero and João Cancelo and Pepe and Ruben Dias. And that's a back four that is pretty well stacked. Rui Patricio maybe is somebody you could look at as a slight weakness, but it's the same as France, the very same as France. That if you were trying to pick a weakness here, somebody else might make an argument and say, actually, they're one of the strongest teams in the tournament in that very department that you pick as a weakness. So it is very hard to see where they're going to fall down. I don't think they're going to top this group, though. I think that France will beat them in the group, but I think they will ultimately surpass France in this tournament and they will get to the final because they'll be on the other side of the draw, but lose to Belgium in that final.
To Belgium. That is... Belgium winning it feels slightly depressing. They should be going for their third Euros, obviously, their third championship win in the last 18 years or whatever it is, which is a mad one in itself. But Belgium all the way on. I mean...
Maybe I went too soon on that because I
poured water on the hype train.
Yeah, I certainly did. Like I think I just got carried away with doing these team previews, and Belgium came up quite early, and I was like, wow, yeah, I'm feeling this. And you know, a bit of rush to the blood to the head, like saying that France away jersey was bad. And
there's been a lot of reaction to that on Sean Kay saying the zone wear brown shoes and bootcut jeans. Sure sounds like it. That French trip is lovely. I read that one. There's loads of commentary along that line. Is that it? Are we done?
That is it. I mean, God. we are at
it's
the
been
end
emotional.
Of the road. You can go back and get them all on YouTube as the cheat
sheets
get
now.
Less and less poorly informed as we came closer and closer to the tournament.
Owen, well done for your efforts. On behalf of the nation, thank you for your work over the last, what feels like about 3 months.
It does.
So well done for that. And, you know, the fruits of your labour will be borne out for years to come, I'm sure.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.